In the Gospel of John chapter 12, we got all the way through verse 30, or 29 really. Which one was it? 29. And you recall God spoke from heaven out loud. Some people said, wow, it thundered. Some people said, no, an angel spoke. Everybody heard the noise, but it was interpreted differently by different people, depending upon how they felt and what they had for lunch. And we remember we talked about that quite a bit. God spoke. And Jesus says in verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. God spoke. And Jesus says, my Father just spoke right directly out of heaven. Not for me. I know he's there. I and the Father are one. It was for you that he did that. It will strengthen you and it will encourage you if you'll just listen. You know, you think about it. And those of you that are truly born again, I don't know, I'll pick a time, I don't know, six months. In the last 6 months, you should be able to say, you know, I know God has spoken to me. I was reading my Bible and the words just seemed to jump off the page. Or somehow God communicated to me, so I knew which way to go. Or I knew what his will was. Or I knew what I shouldn't do or I should do. God speaks to you. And what it does, it really encourages you, doesn't it? You say, oh, wow, okay, that's not much, but there's another step. It's another direction, another step I can continue to go. God's doing it. Jesus said, this wasn't for me. This was for you. It's designed. God encourages you. He strengthens you. He kind of builds you up. So says, come on, let's walk. And that's what went on there. God spoke out loud. And verse 31, Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. What does he mean? Now is the judgment of this world. Jesus, in a few days from this chapter, from chapter 12, just a few days from now, he's going to go to the cross. He will shed his blood and die on the cross at Calvary for the sins of the world. The world's going to be judged there. It took place that day. And you've got a choice to make. Maybe you haven't made it yet. Maybe you think you have. But you see, the world was judged. There's going to be nothing else take place. If you're waiting for some, I don't want Jesus. I'm kind of waiting for something else. That was it. He took the judgment of all sin. He took God's wrath on himself. And he shed his blood and paid the price for it. So you either accept the Lord, accepting that free gift of eternal life, or either you stand before the Lord and be judged and sent eternally to be separated from God. That's where the judgment took place. You know, we kind of get this picture in our mind because we know judgment is coming. Well, I'm taking my chances. I hope my good outweighs my bad. No, you misunderstood what's coming up. When a judgment takes place, it's not going to be a trial to see whether you're guilty. Take a look at what Scripture says. It's going to be a sentencing judgment. It's not going to be, are you going to heaven, are you going to heaven, are you going to hell? No, it's going to be, here's your sentencing. The judgment has already taken place. Either you have accepted Jesus or you have rejected him. And that took place at the cross at Calvary. But he goes on and he says something else. He says, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who is the prince of this world? Satan, absolutely. You know, some people think it's the Antichrist. No, he's coming though. Even though I just heard a teaching on Christian radio this week that there will be no 7-year tribulation, there will be no 1,000-year millennial reign, and there will be no Antichrist. I wonder what there will be. Becoming more and more popular to just figure this is it. It's just going to keep on going until Jesus returns, and he'll return, you know, when he's fed up or something. Overlooking a lot of scripture. But anyway, the prince of this world, he is also called the God of this world. Paul calls him that. Jesus says to some who are hypocrites, your father isn't in heaven. You are of your father, the devil. The devil, Satan, is called the God of this world, the prince of this world. He is also called the prince of the powers of the air. The devil. Not only is the world judged there at the cross, but the devil is defeated at the cross. Now is, what does he say, the prince of this world cast out. people say, I don't understand. Because if the devil was defeated at the cross, before we talk about that question, think about what went on at the cross. God, in human flesh, died on the cross. He was nailed to the cross. He bled and shed his blood for the sins of the world. He cried out, tetelestai. In our language, they'll translate it here in God's word, it is finished. It can also be translated literally, paid in full. Your sins are already paid for if you'll accept Jesus Christ, or you can pay yourself. But you won't come out of suffering until you've paid the last penny. I would say wisdom is, since he paid for it, come to him and get that free gift of eternal life. But see, this also at the cross, when Jesus died, Satan, who, this may shock you, because people don't seem to understand that he's just an angel. Many people think Satan and God are co-equal. The dark side and the light. Luke, use the force. And they don't know who's going to win, and they're not quite sure who's more strong. Or wait a minute. God is almighty. Satan is not. He is an angel, a created being like you and I, except he's an angel. He's not a human. He's an angel. He doesn't know the future. At the cross, when Jesus cried out, it is finished, and gave up the ghost, or let his spirit go, Satan thought, we win! He said way back there in Genesis chapter 3 that he was going to crush my head, but look at this, I won it. Satan thought he did it. He was defeated at the cross. And people say, I don't understand that. How can he be defeated and still be in the game? I wish you could have been with me all through high school. I have no problem understanding this. It makes perfect sense to me on the team I played for. Man, I remember one game in particular, it was 40-0 in the first quarter. It's like we didn't even show up. What's going on, guys? Oh, game going. No, second quarter. And the coach, man, this guy was cool. Psychological, working on my mind. He says, you guys can do it. You know what the team does? Who's he talking to? It's 40-0, man. And the whistle blows, and we go into the second quarter, and now it's 47-0. And you're thinking, we're not going to win this. We were defeated. I played a lot of games where we were beaten and still finished the game. Haven't you? Makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, Satan's still in the game. But he was defeated at Calvary. You come to Jesus, and your enemy is a defeated enemy. Hey, I remember playing a game. My very first varsity game. You know, we had done so well in our junior varsity year. The season was over for us, and the varsity players, those big boys, they were awesome. I was 115 pounds, and these guys were out there playing over 210, 220. I didn't want to play, but the coach, because we did so well, let us suit up with the varsity. And my girlfriend was a cheerleader. I'm out there in this varsity uniform. It is clean. I don't want to play. These guys are monsters. They're huge. And we're winning the game 30-0. It's the last quarter, and there are just a few minutes to play. And I'm there looking good, waving to people in the crowds and things. I'm really looking. I don't even have my helmet on. I'm holding it so people know who I am. They don't recognize you with your helmet on. You look like everybody else. And I'm just there. And the coach goes, Davis, come over here. He calls us junior varsity guys. I'm going to put you in. What? I'm too little. I haven't lived life. I'm too young to go. And he put us junior varsity players in there for, I think, the last almost 3 minutes of the game. My parents couldn't make it to that game. And he put me in, and my position in the junior varsity was monster man, nose man, down man, right across from the center, defense. And the guy's nose across from me filled the helmet. The guy, and I don't think he had teeth. They're just these long things sticking out of his mouth. And he was dark-skinned, and his helmet was dark blue, and I couldn't find him. And I'm praying. I'm not a Christian at this time, but I'm praying. And he ran right over my body. I'm telling you this for a reason. Sometimes, Christian, you're in the game and you're taking a beating, but the game's already won. Oh, man, you got 2 or 3 minutes to play. You may take a bleed a little, but game's already won. Satan's a defeated foe. What happened? My parents couldn't make it to the game, so they listened on the radio. And here's this little bitty kid, 115 pounds. I'm filthy now. One hit, and I am filthy. Bleeding. And the team thought, there's a little bitty guy out there. Let's just run everything through him. So they ran the next 7 plays through me. And I'm going, Coach, get me out. He goes, no, you're doing great. Well, see, on the radio, what my parents heard was this amazing kid, about 115 pounds, Bob Davis, he is playing this game single-handedly. He's bringing all these men down by himself. That wasn't the case. One of them, I tried my best to get out of his way. He hit me. I couldn't let go. I mean, when he finally fell, I thought, get off, get away. But it reminded me, now, when I think back, how the Holy Spirit's really doing the work. You just take a beating and you can't help but make the tackles. Got him! My hand got caught in one of the guy's shoes and brought him down. I was bleeding, my fingers were hurting, and I think, I can't lose! Get me out! Hey, Satan is a defeated foe. He's still in the game, though. He is accusing you before God every day. He is the accuser of the brethren. He still has entrance into the Holy of Holies, and he accuses you and me. He accuses Christians regularly. And we have a mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. He is there. He ascended back to the Father, and he is our advocate. He speaks on our behalf. He's mine. Satan will go, look at that girl. She is a loser. And God will, if Jesus weren't there, God would say, you're right, she is. But Jesus said, no, she's mine. She's covered in my blood. God said, that's my child. Well, wait a minute. Although Satan is defeated, he's still around causing trouble. If you've been trying to serve the Lord with your whole heart lately, he's been there every step of the way trying to stop you up. Notice that, hasn't he? Him and his helpers, your friends. But he's going to be taken care of for good. The word I use is it's going to happen in stages. In Revelation chapter 12, we see him finally kicked out of heaven for good. Out of heaven, where he can never enter it again, accuse anybody ever again. Ooh, is he going to be mad? The Bible says. Read Revelation 12 and 13. My goodness, it's going to be a mess down here. Because he can't get back in there. So he's just going to, he knows time is tight. So he's really going to wreak havoc. Then in Revelation chapter 20, he's going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. Not gotten rid of, but thrown into the bottomless pit for approximately 1,000 years, the Bible says. Then in Revelation 20, verse 10, he's going to finally be thrown into the lake of fire. It'll happen in stages. When did his defeat take place? At the cross. Jesus said it. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, next verse, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus will be lifted up from the earth. What did he mean? Signifying what death he had done. To be lifted up, he was telling them, I'm going to be crucified. To be crucified means that you are hung on the cross, nailed to it, above the ground. So between earth and heaven, he would hang there. He hung there from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, about 6 hours. And he was lifted up. The Son of the living God, the Lamb, our Passover lamb, was slain for the sins of the world, that we might have eternal life freely. And he was lifted up. He's hanging on the cross. He says, I'll draw all men to myself. You know, the ones who believe, when they see Jesus hanging there, they are saved for all eternity. They simply by faith believe. The ones who reject will be lost for all eternity. And each one has a choice to make. You choose, I choose, all we choose. What have you chosen? Because there are people, you see, Jesus lifted up. We point to him and say, he's on the cross, he died for your sins. People say, I don't care. I reject that. I don't want that. If you're waiting for some other thing to happen, that was it. The judgment was right there and then. You missed it. Either you accept Jesus or you're on your own. It's what the Bible teaches clearly. Notice, today, it's still important to point to Jesus lifted up. We still need to be preaching the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on the cross at Calvary. God died that day, God in human flesh. He died on the cross at Calvary, shed his blood for the sins of the world. He was dead and was buried. And 3 days later, on the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. Jesus Christ was dead and is alive again. He rose from the dead. Hey, people need to see Jesus lifted up so that they can look up to him and they can either believe, have simple faith, or they can reject. That's all you can do. There's not a waiting period. I don't know. Jesus on the cross. I'll think about that Thursday. No. To say no or to say maybe is to say no. In other words, to make no choice is to make a choice. You could either say yes or no, not I'll wait. What will you wait for? I mean, why do we think we've got time to wait? There are all sorts of people that are dying in the news lately, in case you hadn't noticed. Many of them probably assumed they would still be here, and they are shocked that they're gone now. Of weird diseases that are coming out of nowhere, of gunshots, of, you know, bombs, of hand grenades, of knives, and I mean, it's just amazing, don't you think? L.A., not the county, the city. They win so far. The year's not over. They have over 500 murders this year so far. That's over one a day. Hey, that's a lot of murders if one of them is your family or you, isn't it? Over 500. They're headed for 600. Maybe they'll hit 600 before the end of the year. They got another month and a half or a month. And then you head on over to New York, they're right under them with a near 500, 400 something, still more than one a day. Then you got Chicago, they're right there too, man, they're about one a day, 300 something. Then you got Detroit in the upper twos. These are murders, these are first degree murders with malice aforethought, murder. And there are people hijacking cars, and there are people stealing and looting. And what makes you think that you and I won't be touched by it sometime? You don't have a whole lot of time down here, because if the right one don't get you, the left one will. You go to the doctor and you say, nobody's going to shoot me. The doctor said they don't have to. You got 3 months. What do I got? We don't know, man. You're just ugly. You're going to die. I think, all right. What do? Lay down. It's the safest thing for you. You know, people are being told, they go to the doctor saying, I don't feel well, I'm tired. And then they come out going, the doctor just gave me 6 months to live. Yesterday I was fine, now they're saying 6 months, what is this? Life is pretty short. And Jesus is going to say that in a moment. It's time to choose. You know, the business world needs to hear the gospel. Needs to see Jesus crucified on that cross, dying and rising from the dead. The business world. Now, God hasn't put me in the business world. I don't know why. He has chosen to put me somewhere else for whatever his reasons are. I don't know. But he's put some of you in it. And there are others who will listen by tape or radio. He's put you there. So obviously, there's your chance. And I don't mean to get weird and to get bizarre and to get freaking, you know, like those girls. What did they do? They stripped naked, covered themselves with mustard, and walked down the street preaching the gospel. When they were arrested, they said, you're persecuting us. No, you're nuts. And they said, well, it represents the mustard seed. That's sick. That's weird. I'm not suggesting that you get naked and cover yourself with mustard. If you tell me God tells you to, I don't know. I'd still question it. We'd want to pray about it some. But I am suggesting that the business world needs to hear the gospel. That's why he's allowed you there. There's a way. You know, students in school need to hear the gospel. Now I am not a student. We're all students of the Bible, but I mean, I don't go to a school. I can't get there from here. But some of you do. And so you could actually preach the gospel. Jesus lifted up on the cross, dying on the cross, and rising again from the dead, shedding his blood for the sins of the world. White-collar workers, blue-collar workers, the poor, the needy, the rich, the famous. Everybody needs to hear the good news. And notice, he's made many of us all those things. Or some of those things altogether. Rich, poor, needy, a white collar, blue collar, whatever collar, place, shape. Homemakers need to hear the gospel. Everybody needs to hear. And so God has taken his people and, like salt, spread us out around the world so that we would preach the gospel. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. We need to tell people Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross. They need to look up there and decide what they want to do about it. They can say, no thanks, that's not for me. Or they can say, I want Jesus in my heart. But everybody needs to make a choice. Well, the people are confused. The people answered and they said, he suggested he's going to be killed. He's going to be lifted up, meaning he's going to be crucified. So the people answer in verse 34, we've heard out of the law that Christ or the Messiah will live forever, abides forever. How can you say the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? We thought you were saying you were the Messiah. And we've read the scripture, and the scripture says that Christ, the Messiah, is going to rule and reign forever and ever. And you're saying that you're going to die. We're confused. You and I understand that Jesus is going to rise from the dead. We've read about it. We understand that. And Jesus has said that he would rise from the dead, but they're not grasping that part, so they're a little confused. What does he answer? Jesus said unto them, verse 35, yet a little while is the light with you. Or, a little while, the light is still with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth, or doesn't know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spoke Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. They said, we're confused. How can Christ... live forever, but die. Jesus says, listen, you'll understand a lot of things. There's something more important than what you're asking. Here's what's important. Your time of opportunity is limited. It's now. He is the light of the world, but he's going to go back to the Father. What are you going to do about it? What's your decision? Walk in the light while you have the light. Your time of opportunity is now. Again, Scripture reminds us constantly that we are flesh. You don't have to really remind us. People that are not saved, as well as people that are saved, notice it, that they're not as fast as they used to be when they were 19. Now they're 21. They're slowing down. Now they're 25. And whew, now they're 30 and they can hardly stand. And it gets worse. And then most of them that are in their entering into their 40s start working out hard. Makes you feel like you're going to go longer. And then they hit 50. And then they hit 60. And the only thing they can remember is 30 years ago. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I remember what I said to so-and-so at lunch 25 to 30 years ago. And you think, this mind is freaking out. Somebody told me, you're suffering from Alzheimer's. It's not all, it's just half right now. That's probably true. This is your time. This is your opportunity. What are you doing with it? Will you walk in the light or will you continue to walk in darkness? If you walk in darkness, he says, you don't know what life is all about. You don't understand it. You hear the questions. We're told they're philosophical. But you hear these questions. What are we doing here? What's it all about? I mean, why? Some people say they believe in evolution. That's a joke. But some people say it. And so we've come out of, from the ooze to the zoos to use is what they believe. And you think, come on. And so they ask the question, we're useless. We're just animals that got kind of loose. What good is it? What are we doing here? And where are we going from this? And nobody has the answers. The Bible is so clear in the answers. But the philosophers, they debate it. Well, the reason that we're here is an accident. Okay, that's good for someone who wants to commit suicide. I'm thinking about killing myself. Well, how you got here? It was an accident anyway. At least you can get out of here on purpose. Yeah, that helps. That really makes me feel... Now I feel better. I'm glad scholars helped. And God gives us the answer. You were created in the image of God. He loves you. And while there's light, walk in it. You got a shot at it now. I don't know how long the shot's going to last for me. I don't know. Listen, the way I lived my early life, I'm surprised to still be standing. What's that old saying? If I had known I was going to live so long, I'd have taken better care of myself. My plan was to live hard, die young, leave a good-looking corpse. It didn't work. Why is she laughing? Because she knows that the corpse still looks the same if I'd have been 13, right? What are you going to do about it? Here's your shot at it. What are you doing about it? Now's the time. Believe now while you have the light. And then Jesus left them. All right, there's a decision to make. I guess we could discuss it for the next 3,000 years, but sooner or later you're going to have to decide on something. What are you going to do about what you know? Are you going to look at Jesus on the cross, dying there, and then rising again and say, I don't believe that garbage. I don't accept that. He's a great guy, but I think it's a bunch of garbage. Okay, that's your choice. Everybody gets to choose. That's what you choose. But the truth is, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the Son of the living God. I will die on the cross. I will pay for sin. The Lamb that was slain. If you come to me, I will give you life eternal. And I say, in simple faith, I believe. I want you in my life. I want to be part of you. And he freely gives me eternal life. Because judgment took place at the cross. My judgment. I've already been adjudicated and found innocent inside Jesus Christ. And so Paul will say in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. You see, he took my place. He died there for me, that I might live in him the rest of my life. Well, verse 37. Though he had done so many miracles before them or in front of them, yet they did not believe on him. They made their choice, didn't they? He hid himself from them. He said, you've got a choice to make. He walked off. He was gone. And what do they say? Guy's a loony. A few days they're going to say, crucify him. We don't want him around. He's not our king. We don't have anything to do with him. The guy's crazy. Kill him. They made their choice, didn't they? But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Quoting from Isaiah 53, Lord, who has believed our report? Who has, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said this in Isaiah 6. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw the glory and spoke of him. Now don't misunderstand what's being said. We learn from Isaiah what the problem really is. When Jesus leaves these people and they choose not to believe, Isaiah explains what the problem is. They refuse to open their eyes and see. It's not that they can't, but they won't. Maybe you have tried to share Jesus with others. And you say, I want to tell you about Jesus who hung on the cross for your sins. And they say, I don't believe that. I don't even want to believe that. I think that doesn't make sense. And I think there's a much better way. What do you think? I think we came from spacemen. And they flew us down from this planet, kind of like Superman. That's why some rocks make me sick. And that's what I think. You think yours is more logical than what the truth is. Yes, that's what I reject the truth. See, people choose. There's an old saying, I guess maybe a cliche. There is none so blind as he who will not see. There is none so blind as the one who will not see. I don't want to hear it. You've shared with people, I have, and they say, and you say, this is what the Bible says, and they look at me and say, I don't want to hear the Bible. Why? I just don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear that. Don't preach to me. Don't tell me about Jesus. I don't want that. There is none so blind as one who refuses to see. You think about this. This sounds sort of silly, but you know, you're in bed, you've still got your eyes closed, and you say, you know what? I don't want to see anything today. I'm going to get up and get around, but I will not open my eyes. All day I'm going to keep my eyes closed. Well, that's up to you, I guess. But the truth is, that's a choice you're making. And we learn from Isaiah when we read this. He hath blinded their eyes, verse 40, and hardened their heart. People say, God is so bad, he doesn't love them. Hold it, hold it. Don't misunderstand what's being communicated. Who did God harden their heart? The one who said, I choose not to believe. Well, then God hardens their heart. Go back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Moses said, let my people go. I'm quoting from God. God says to you, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Moses came back. A couple of things went on. Moses said, you got to let God's people go. This is what God says, let my people go. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Moses said, you got to let him go. God says, let him go. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And finally, the Bible says, then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What happened? There are two different words. One of them, Pharaoh hardened his heart, meaning I choose not to listen to God. And finally, when God hardened his heart, it doesn't mean hardened. It means strengthened. So in other words, Pharaoh says, this is the way I'm going. This is the way I want to go. I choose to go this way, and I don't want to go any other way. And God said, then I will strengthen you in your decision. Isaiah said, they won't listen. They won't see. And God says, there comes a time when you say, I just don't want it anymore. I don't want anything to do with it. When God says, all right, I will strengthen you in your own decision. God didn't make you choose it. But there comes a time, listen closely, when it's too late. There comes a time when you've heard it too many times and you just say, look, I don't want to hear that. That there's going to come a time when it's too late. And God says, then I will encourage you. I'll give you the strength to continue that way. You don't want that. And that's what Jesus was telling these people. You got the light now. Here's your shot. Take it. Accept it. It's free. There comes a time. And by the way, each time you and I hear, that's the time to say in faith, I believe. Because each time I hear and reject, it gets harder and harder until finally there comes a time. And I don't know when it is. Only God would know. When God says, I'll strengthen your heart there. You say you don't want to see? I'll strengthen you that way. You won't see. But remember, it is not that I can't, it's that I won't. And that's what was going on with these people. Nevertheless, good news, good news. Among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There are secret believers inside the leadership of Israel, inside the Supreme Court of Israel, inside the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, the doctors of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes, and all those important people. Inside there were some secret believers. But they didn't want to be kicked out, excommunicated from the church, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of people. They were afraid to lose their jobs. I like this job. People really respect me. I don't want to lose it. So they are secret Christians. Now, when I was young, I'd say this took place maybe 35 years ago. I was 2 or so. I can't remember. There was a product on the market called Clairol. Now, that was in the day, because this was nearly 40 years ago, that was in the day when women didn't want you to know they colored their hair. Now, with the purple spikes and the carved initials, I don't think they're hiding it any longer. But it was a time when women didn't want you to know, and men just didn't do that kind of thing. If they did, they're still not talking about it now. So you can see, that was a long time ago. Clairol. There was no lady or man or Fred or daughter. There was just Clairol. And the commercial, and those of you that are over 35, You probably remember the commercial. Not much to it. There was a box Clairol and a girl with beautiful hair. And the commercial said, "Does she or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. Clairol." I wonder, does she? So from that, I've taken to call some people Clairol Christians. That's what these guys are. They're secret Christians. They're Clairol Christians. Is she or isn't she? Only God really knows. You can't tell. Is he or isn't he? Only God knows. The guy, you can't tell. He won't bring it up at work or anything. He's a secret. He's a Clairol Christian. Are you a Clairol Christian? I mean, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you go shopping, when you're, do people know you're born again? Or are you one of those that only God knows for sure? These guys are secret believers. Why? They love the praise of men more than the praise of people. The good thing about two of them is they're going to come on out anyway. When Jesus died on the cross and hung there, they went to Pilate and asked for the body. They went and took the body down. Remember Nick? In John chapter 3, Nick at night chapter, Nicodemus. He believed. Jesus said, "You must be born again." That old man got saved. He was up around 90 years old or so. He got saved. And he came out. He was a secret believer, but he came out. So did Joseph of Arimathea. He was a rich guy who was part of the Sanhedrin. He was really important and in charge. But these guys came out to take the body of Jesus. No longer Clairol Christians. They came out so people could see. They do. They are. I think it's important that people know that we are. I don't know that you ought to, again, strip down naked and cover yourself with mustard. I don't know that that's wisdom. So in other words, I don't think we ought to become really bizarre. But I think people should know. When someone says to me, in the Navy, they used to ask this a lot, "What is wrong with you?" I'd tell them, "I'm a Christian. That's what's wrong with me." "You used to be fun. What's wrong with you?" "I'm saved now." "What I call fun and what you call fun are not the same thing. You're going to hell." People thought, "You are so weird." But they knew, whether they liked it or not. I don't think we ought to be Clairol Christians. Two of the secret guys did come out, though, so that's a thrill. Jesus cried and said to who's listening now, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." You're looking at me, you're looking at God, he said. "And I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus repeats his statement, "I'm the light of the world." Remember, he did that, a little over 6 months ago, when he healed that man that was born blind there on the Sabbath day. Caused a lot of trouble, remember that? Jesus reminds us, "I'm the light of the world." He gives sight to those that are blind. It's a spiritual sight we're talking about here, even though he showed us by giving physical sight to that man. I think Jesus still opens the eyes of anyone that's willing to admit that they're spiritually blind right now. I think you come to Jesus humbly and say, "I believe you are God Almighty. I believe you died for the sins of the world, for my sins. I want you in my life." Jesus would come into your heart and give you spiritual sight. You begin to see. Things begin to make sense. This world kind of grows dim and you start to see there's some fun stuff waiting. Heaven is a great place. I mean, I admit, all of us want to go to heaven. None of us want to die. I don't mind dying. It's the preliminaries. I mean, you know, that's what bothers me about it. I want it to be quick and in my sleep and really calm. I don't want it to be, you know, if shot or chopped up into pieces or somebody eat me up alive or, you know, blow me, you know, and all the neat things that are going on around the world. I think, Lord, could just, you know, easy. Sometimes I catch myself thinking, well, I know heaven's good, but I don't know, my arm hurts. Am I going there now? Like, I don't know if it's that good. I don't really know if it's that good, okay? It is. It's just that we're, you know, we're prone to hang on to these things. I mean, look how beautiful they are, these bodies of ours. What are you laughing at? Jesus opened your eyes spiritually and my eyes, and we can see. Heaven's a real place. God lives there. There's a real throne He sits on it. The angels are there. They cry, holy, holy, holy. It's really going on right now, even as we speak. It's real. It's true. And God shows it to you. He, even though you don't get to see it with your eyes yet, you know it's true. And you know that we've got something to look forward to. And you know that all this ugliness is going to eventually be wiped out. There'll be no more tears, no more crying. It's going to be good there. But while we're here, we have a job to do. Verse 47. If any man hear my words and does not believe or believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment which I should say, or what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus is the Word. He says, I'm not here to judge you. I'm going to die. I will die for you. I will pay the price. You come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I love you. I'm doing this for you. Just simply trust me and walk with me in the light while you're here, while you've got the time. Jesus is God's word to every one of us. Moses in Deuteronomy 18, he says, Messiah is coming, that prophet that God will raise up like me, Moses says. Talking about the Messiah. What does Moses say about him? You must listen to him. What did God say to you and I about Jesus? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When Peter was talking on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus, Elijah, Moses, Peter, James, and John, Peter wakes up and he's nervous. He doesn't know what to do. He says, Lord, it's good that we're here. He's scared to death. So when some people get scared, they start talking. I do that. And he says, Lord, it's good that we're here. We should build three tents, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. While he's speaking, cloud comes over. God says, Peter, shut up. Well, no, he doesn't say that. God just interrupts Peter and starts talking out loud. And Peter, shut up. And God said, this is my beloved son. Peter, be quiet and listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm God's word. This is what God has to say. This is what it's all about. So I would expect the devil to not want me to know what God says. So he gets scholars together and they start taking out parts of the Bible. Have you noticed that? Jesus didn't say this. This didn't really happen. Hold it. They're taking out parts of God's word. God says not one jot or tittle will be gone. So a crossed T or a dotted I, you're not going to lose anything. Everything I've given you, you can trust it, he says. This is my word. Now, and when we go to Hebrews, and you can turn there with me if you like, just a couple of verses if I can find it. It's right after Titus, I believe. No, right after Philemon. Verses 1 and 2 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is God's word to you. Jesus said, I'm here now, not to judge, but to serve you and to die in your place and that you might have life. Just come to me. But he's returning as the judge. You'll see in Revelation chapter 19, he's going to show up on this white horse, come down from heaven, speak, a sword's going to go forth, which is what? His word, and millions are going to die. God's word. See, God's word needs to get out. Now is your chance. Now is my chance. Are we taking opportunity of our chance? I think God's word should go out in any way that is available. I know a lot of people hate the internet. A lot of people hate television. Listen, anything that can be used for good can be used for bad. That's a choice, again, that people are going to make. But you know something? God's word can go out through radio. It can go out, yes, through television. Sorry, but it can. It can go out through the internet. Listen, this is going to sound strange, but it could actually go out through church at a live service. That's rare. But God's word could go out there too. Doesn't happen much anymore, but it does. God's word could go out through outreaches. We just had one this past week. You saw the worship generation. We do hope. There are a lot of things. You see Franklin Graham do them all over. God's word could go out through outreaches. It could go through friendly conversation, through cassette tapes, through CDs, through MP3s, through videos, through DVDs. My goodness, most of that stuff is not very expensive. When we get together, God's word can go out and be on any front at any time. I don't know how long we're going to have this. I don't know how long we'll go before the internet is locked down. I don't know how long we'll go before radio gives out. I don't know how long we'll go before television or MP3s. I don't know, but right now, those are ways to get God's word out, and we ought to use them, every bit of them. You know, Jesus is the Son of the living God, crucified on the cross at Calvary, shed his blood, God the Son, on the cross, and died there, was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. That's the gospel. See how easy the gospel is to preach. Now everybody has to choose to do something about it. If you come to Jesus, he says, you come to me, and I would never turn you away. You'll have life and eternal life, an abundant life, life to the full spiritually. But if you reject, you suffer for eternity. Somebody says, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? A loving God won't. You've got to choose to go. God will honor your choice. He won't look at you and say, you're bad. You know, we're all sinners. And I think the misconception is that sinners go to hell because they've sinned. No, you were born a sinner. You were born a sinner, so was I. I mean, given enough time, we will sin. Just give us enough time to where we can walk and talk, and we'll cheat and lie and run and do things. I mean, think about it. What's going to send you to hell? The rejection of Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. And that's a choice that you and I will make. It's always up to you. You say, I don't want to go to hell. Neither do I. Why? Smart. Makes good sense. Then what do I got to do? Nothing. Believe by faith. Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's God Almighty. We need to decide in our own hearts, and we need to be willing to tell others. Not in bizarre ways. Ask the Lord to open the doors and the ways, and he will. He does. We're blessed that we can continue on the radio. We don't know how long that will last. That's up to God. That's not up to us. We're blessed that we can be on the internet, be available, and have videos and cassettes and CDs and MP3, all those. We're blessed that we've got those. We use them while we can, while it is called today. We don't worry about how long we've got. I see people saying, oh, the church is going to be shut down, and then there's going to be no TV, no video. Okay, fine. If that's what God allows, then what we do is we keep going till then. Not a problem, right? We just remain, by the power of the Holy Spirit, faithful to these simple things. These are easy. Doesn't take a lot of work. It's not huge money. And each one of us can certainly share the gospel. Have you made your choice? You are loved. God loves you. And he's made a way that you can have life. And it's a free gift. Understand, if you have to pay for it or do something to get it, it is not a gift. It is something that you earned. Remember, salvation and eternal life is freely given to you and me as a gift. Let's bow our heads together.